Hey, hey, welcome to episode 54 of the Venture Maidens podcast. It's me, Sage. Before we get to the goods, we must sing our holy praises to Kobold Press, for the kobolds have forged something new and fabulous. It is deep magic for 5th edition. Have you ever felt like Arnadel? Have you desired to learn the secrets of elven magic, or blast enemies with powerful battle magic? Or maybe you'd rather build cunning mechanical servants with clockwork magic. Well then, the Deep Magic series from Kobold Press has all of this and more for 5th edition. Time magic, rune magic, illumination, nearly 20 PDFs, with new ones coming out all the time. In this series, you'll find new schools of magic, sorceress origins, warlock patrons, feats, spells, magic items, and more. Best of all, each Deep Magic PDF is a deal. Most of them for only $2.99 for a huge treasure trove of content. Pick it up now at KoboldPress.com. But alright, let's see if the magic of friendship can help our maidens untangle the complicated webs of fate. Last time, our heroes headed deep into the city of Chasiana in the pursuit of the mysterious book club leader, enigmatically known as the Collector. At the Thousand and One Nights Inn, the maidens discovered that their old enemy, good old knowledge demon Bartleby, was running around, and they made a deal with him to learn the location of Duke Rowan's blackmailing Yugoloth. Well, I think that about sums it up. Let's get to it!
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our maidens infiltrate the Yugoloth's sanctum only to find his retinue in wait. Who else is bound by this creature's book? Can they learn the fiend's true name? Is it better to choose the devil you know? Find out in episode 54, Cat's Cradle.
Okay, I think we're live!
We are! I see our beautiful faces!
Yay! Oh my gosh, hello! Hello, everybody, welcome! Sorry for the late start, but we have a couple different things going on here. One, this is my first time running the Venture Maidens stream, so if you guys, if our levels are really unbalanced, or if our cameras suddenly slide to the left, or anything, let me know! In the chat. So I will be having the chat open too, which is like so distracting as a DM, but that's okay because I gotta learn to grow up and just fucking deal with it. So hi, oh my gosh, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens. I'm super excited. I guess I'm just gonna start. Hi everybody, I'm Celeste. I'm gonna be your dungeon master tonight.
I'm Brittany Quintero, playing Arnadel Thill, the Moon Elf Warlock.
I'm Nassim Etimod, your human monk, Sayanur.
And I'm Sage, and I play your battling barbarian, Kara Brynhilda.
How much alliteration can we get in there, babely battling barbarian?
So, wait, Nassim, can you hold up your drink one more time? It was like bright orange. What is it?
I don't know. I found some things in my fridge, orange juice, lemons, club soda, and put that all in with some gin because I don't have any vodka, so
fuck vodka.
I haven't tried it yet.
That sounds amazing. All right, everybody, so Nassim's getting crunk tonight for this episode of Venture Maidens.
It's not bad.
Before we can do... Not bad? Hey, we're good. I have a lager, and it's terrible. I've never had one, and I was like, oh no, I got one of those multi-pack things of beer, and I'm regretting it. But that's okay. Yeah, so that is where we left off last time. You had basically just been evaporated out of Bartleby's interdimensional lair inside this bottle, and you found that you had knowledge somehow of exactly where to go to find this Yugoloth.
Oh yes, and we still need to figure out its name.
Yes.
Rumpelstiltskin.
How did you know? You broke it.
Oh, damn it.
Adventure over. You solved it. so, and you had learned that this thing was a Yugoloth as opposed to just a typical demon or devil. So you know that this thing is some kind of free agent mercenary creature that has power over itself because it has its own name. So now you know where to find this thing, but you've got to find it. You've got to get the name, because that's the only way to really stop it from coming after Rowan again. Because even just killing this thing isn't going to do it. They can come back as long as they have their own names. So, you find yourself standing in that room again, which was underneath the 1001 Nights Inn, with those casks and storage all around you. And this lamp is still just sitting there on this pedestal. Again, you feel a sudden heat as your Afridi friend appears behind you once again. But now he's composed himself a little bit more since that flare-up he had when he was inside the lamp. So again, he looks like his human self. I mean, as human as, you know, a 7-foot-tall giant man can be. And you have this very clear image of a warehouse in your mind. And you don't know how you know this, but you could walk there, like, right now. You could absolutely go there. There's also a word, well, two words, that come to your mind, and you don't know why. Butterscotch.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay. Cute.
Interesting.
I mean, we know why we have this knowledge, right? I mean, like...
Well, you did make a deal to know how to find the demon.
Yeah. We're like, so... oh, cool.
It's just, it's one of those fuzzy things, you know, like, because you have basically this memory or this information implanted in your heads without anybody ever actually giving you directions or anything. You just know it. Like, you could probably put your hand over your eyes and then be able to point directly to this location.
Is, what was Genie Man's name again?
Rashad.
Rashad. So the last meeting was here at your establishment, right?
Yes.
What time of night, day, did it take place?
It was around high noon. But I know that it changes locations, times. Perhaps even planes. I'm not privy to that knowledge.
Okay. Well, we're doing our best to make sure everyone comes out of this whole situation okay. So thank you for helping us out. We'll be on our way.
I hope you make it out of this alive. And I thank you for what you said in there.
Of course.
We are always trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, no question. Not even a second thought.
There aren't many like you around, much less in this city. Be careful out there. And he walks up the stairs and he unlocks that padlock that he did before and holds open the door for you all to step back out into the main room of the 1001 Nights Inn.
Woo!
All right. Yeah, so you know where this place is. You know that it would be quite a bit of a walk. You'd have to move out of this district, which is the Night District, and then over to the Forellen District, which is the dock kind of ward merchant area. You know the warehouse is located there. So you could get a boat, or you could walk, or however. What's the play here? At this point in the day, it's probably around, 1 p.m. or so, since you set out super early.
Well, I say we just head over there right now. Take a walk, see what we see. I like to explore new places, and then obviously stake out until we start seeing people show up. Or, hey, I mean, are you trying to explore the city more? I can go by the warehouse or whatever this thing is if you want to go wander around.
You know what? I'm down. If you're interested in exploring, I'm happy to send Alistar to find you guys if you want to do some more reconnaissance.
Yeah, I'm definitely down to stake out the place.
Let's just all camp together.
Or we could take shifts. One of us stay with Alistar so that we can at least pass the message along. Once things start happening, how's that sound?
Because, I mean, we still have to figure out what this demon's name is.
Yeah, but we probably won't do that until we're close to him. I mean, unless Arnie, you're good at searching.
Yeah, research. You know what I'm gonna do? Way ahead of, we're on the same page. I'm gonna go to that library that little street urchin almost led us to, and I will find you guys. What do you say? Like an hour? I'll meet you back here in an hour.
Well, meet at the warehouse.
Okay, I'll meet you at the warehouse. I'm gonna go read up on this shit and see what I can learn about Yugoloths.
Do it.
Tight.
Good idea.
All right.
Saya puts her arm around Carl and goes, let's go, Carl.
Oh, shit. Now we know what Saya's type is.
There we go. We finally figured. I just needed to put a normal human man.
A basic white blonde boy.
Basic white blonde. All right.
I know he is a rabbit charm, and he does have his wiles.
Oh. She's really just messing with Kara. She's just like, this is fun. I'm with a handsome man, and it's my friend.
Oh, boy.
It.
All right.
I love it.
You gotta love those handsome men.
Gidget's clearly not into it, so, you know, whatever.
So, I'll start with you both, with the warehouse. So, if you were to take a boat, so more like a taxi, you could probably get there in about, like, 20 minutes, since you do have to travel to another district. If you wanted to walk, you would walk through this whole district, and then you'd have to walk across a couple bridges. It would probably take you more like an hour to get there.
All right, let's taxi it then. Let's Uber.
Oh, fine. Yeah. I just kind of want to show you off, but that's fine. We can take a taxi.
I'll stand up valiantly on the boat.
Yeah, I mean, they're all open-air gondolas, and everybody at this point, so it's 1 p.m., so everybody is, like, out for lunch, and it's just a perfect day. So you see, again, lots of those just little, like, pleasure cruise boats just drifting along the canals, and, you know, people in beautiful, brightly colored silk clothing lounging with their sun umbrellas and drinking on the boats, and laughter and bards playing as you drift lazily down the water. The streets, again, just full of life and sounds and smells. This city is amazing. You can't help but get swept up, like, sort of in the charm and the spirit of everything. There's always something new to see around every corner, something bright and beautiful. And so you enjoy that ride as you take it. Eventually, you know, you come to the end and you get into the dock ward. So this place is probably the most active corner of the city you've seen so far. You can see tall masts just like hanging over this entire district as you see ships of all sizes coming in and out of these giant ports that frame on the southern edge and open up to the ocean. So everywhere you go, there's an ocean view, and that smell of the sea and salt and the heat is just moving through the streets. Lots of peddlers in this area. So if you wanted to buy anything, there's like fruit stands, there's people selling cloths and spices and exotic instruments. There's a bird seller like walking through the streets with all these colorful songbirds that are singing. And eventually you make your way past the hubbub and bubbub to this smaller part of town, which is a lot more quiet. There are a lot less people here. And what you see are these squat, very long warehouses. So you see a couple people pulling up carts or like loading barrels into these things. So this is like an interim period where people keep their goods after unloading them. Yeah. So you see like a couple different groups of like, they look like merchants and sailors maybe walking up to examine things. But all in all, the further you get into this, the less and less people are nearby. And everything starts to look a little bit gray and you feel a little bit, I don't know, it's just very quiet with these big empty buildings. I don't know if you guys have ever walked through like a U-Haul place or something, like the rent-a-garage places. They're just like in the middle of nowhere and kind of spooky. And then you can't help but think like, oh my god, what if somebody's dead in there? Nobody would know. But anyway. Yeah, so you eventually approach a warehouse. It looks exactly the same as all the others. You see that it is just there, standing, framed by a bunch of other ones. It's got this big empty kind of lot around it. You see that there are some crates that are stacked against the upside. You see that there is a gate on one side, just like a steel gate with a large padlock on it. And you're sure this is the one?
I want to look around my shoulder to see if there are any onlookers at this right now.
Sure, go ahead and make me a perception check.
I'll do the same.
12.
Okay.
22.
Oh, shit. So, Kara, you're scoping around. You can hear, like, voices off down a few rows away, and the squeaking of a gate as somebody is clearly opening, getting something out. But there's no one in your immediate vicinity, mm-hmm. and the buildings are all, like, blocks, so it's pretty easy to hear if somebody's coming. So you could very easily tuck yourself behind a corner, and you appear to be alone.
Okay.
Sawyer, you noticed the same thing, except with your 22. You're just scoping out the area, like this main yard, and you see there are those boxes and crates stacked up against the outside, like next to the gate of this warehouse. And you see something shift, like inside one of the crates. But then it goes still. Like it was like a large rat or a dog or something.
Is there anything on the ground, like a 2x4 or a rock or something?
Yeah, so there's like some, it's like gravel around where you are, so you could very easily, if you wanted to pick up a gravel rock and chuck it.
Yeah, I want to chuck it at the box.
You do, and you hear,
okay.
Sound. A stray cat or something is living in the box.
Good looking out.
So, Carl, should we sneak in first, get a lay of this warehouse, and check it out? Or just hang out?
Dare say, unless you have some means to remove this lock without making a large amount of noise, that might be best, but otherwise I will probably have to break this off with my axe.
Just to try it, Saya's gonna lean into the padlock and whisper, "Butterscotch." Into the padlock.
Nothing happens.
Nice. I like it.
Oh my god.
But I like your style. Take a point of inspiration.
Woo!
All right. And I think at this point, as you're whispering into the lock, let's jump back over to Arnadel. So, you're looking for a library.
Well, bookstore, library, most like library, because, you know, people get pissy if you, like, just go into a bookstore and browse.
Why are you reading my books? How dare you?
Yeah,
so go ahead and make me, I don't know, like a persuasion check or some kind of check to just ask around to point you towards some options.
Where's the nearest street urchin? Just kidding.
Why isn't gather information a skill anymore?
I know. That's a dumb... Yeah. All right, so what am I looking for? Persuasion.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's going to be an 18.
Yeah, so you ask some, like, innkeepers or people who look like, you know, patrons of these places.
Respectable individuals.
Yeah, and so the closest thing, there is a rare bookshop in this neighborhood. They do have a small collection that you can rent. That would be the closest thing. If you want, like, actual libraries, though, you're going to have to go over towards, like, the higher-end, upper-class district, which would be in the northeast section of town.
Well, fuck this city and not having public libraries, assholes. So, yeah, I'm going to go to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, all right, I'll go to the bookstore, the Rarities bookstore, and... Knowing my way around this, I'm going to assume that it would probably be best to ask the owner of this bookstore for the very specific thing and rent it instead of asking to just flip through it.
Sure. Yeah, so as you walk up, you have a little bit of trouble finding this place because the sign is so dingy and yellowed. It's not painted bright like all the other taverns and everything in the area. Clearly in the night district, you know, the library or the bookshop doesn't get... too much traffic. But you find this little store called Costa's Curiosities.
Cute. I step inside.
Yeah, and as you step inside, you notice in the window there are an arrangement of very strange stuffed beasts.
Ooh, taxidermy. I want to do a quick nature check or arcana to see if maybe I'm like, because it's going to give me a read of like what kind of books that these rare situations might... Oh, that's a natural 20.
Oh,
sweet. Yeah, okay. One is a stuffed rabbit that has horns that have been attached. A jackalope. But you can very clearly tell with your natural 20 that somebody has fused this together. It's not a natural creature.
Jack lips don't... Aw.
You know, actually, it's just an assortment of different rabbits. You see one there that has a very long, like, horn in the middle of its head.
Oh, cute.
An all mirage.
But you can also tell it's not a real all mirage.
It's a fake one. Somebody... Yeah, they, like, crammed a horn through a regular hare's, like, head.
Yep. So those are, yeah, the two, like, the display of that sort of...
Clearly wonky taxidermy. All right, so I'm going to meet an eccentric type.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you walk inside the store, there's the little, like, jingle of a bell, and you can swear as you open the frame, dust, like, comes off of the door. And you step inside, and that old, old book smell hits you.
Tight. Love it.
Plus, yeah, dust. You can see the particles of it traveling through the streams through the window.
I'm real excited.
Yeah, you hear from a back room, "Hello? Is someone there?"
Hi, yes. And I want to, like, as I'm speaking, I want to make my way to where that voice is.
Yeah, and you hear clattering from the back room, and an elven woman steps out from behind a curtain back over there. And she's, her hair is sort of a reddish brown. She's got, like, small features and these large spectacles. She appears to be in, like, her human, like, 30s.
But she's, like, actually, like, 300 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, and she comes out, and she's, like, wearing this cloth over her shoulder and kind of, like, wipes her hands on it. You see a streak of dust, and she's like, do you need directions?
Oh, no. Hi, I'm... I extend my hand, the elven greeting. I'm assuming she's a wood elf?
Yep.
All right, so respectable wood elf and greeting, and I'm just like, no, my name's Arnadel. I'm actually looking for a book, and I'm hoping you can help me.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, welcome. What are you looking for? We've got histories, we've got reference tomes, spooky tales. I don't know. What how can I help you?
Oh, cool. I'm so glad she's excited. She's and so I happy. Like my I know, like my
she's
excitement.
She's getting like extra. She's just so stoked to have you there.
Yeah, and my excitement's starting to like bubble up, and I'm just like, and then I'm like, in Elvish, I'm like, "Can I speak Elven with you?"
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was so weird. Having a moment.
It's so weird being in a big city but not hearing your native tongue, you know? It's just very strange.
Oh, I'm like, "Girl, I understand, trust me. Like, I'm the only elf in my group. I don't ever get to use our native language. Like, this is fucking great. This is amazing. I'm so excited."
Do you need water or tea, or I can probably find
something. I'm absolutely if you would like, I'm happy to like share like a cup of coffee with you, and maybe you can help me. I'm looking for some very specific information, so would you mind so I explain the Yugoloth. Mm-hmm. I don't explain why. I'm just like, I just happened to come across some information about a Yugoloth, and I'm hoping that maybe like you're amazing. I mean, I've looked at some of the titles on your shelf, and these are all like so rare. You have no idea how much I love books. Like,
I mean, me too, obviously.
This is so great.
I've been a collector, and my father was a collector, and okay, Yugoloth, absolutely. That's kind of dark stuff. Here we go. I'll start here, and she goes ahead, and she pulls out a book. It's Volo's Guide to Monsters. and she lovingly, like, strokes it. She's like, "It's a signed copy."
Oh, wow. I've heard of him. I studied with him, you know, like, okay, so I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm just mostly excited because I know you'll appreciate this, but I studied with Blackstaff. I know.
What did his hair smell like?
Like cedar chips.
Of course it was.
I know. It was really cool. Oh my god. I can put in a good word if you ever want to check out Candlekeep. Like, I would love to hook you up with that.
I would love that.
Oh, it would be my honor.
And yeah, as you gush on. So essentially, if you would like, I'm going to go ahead and give you those pages of the monster manual so you can look up and just see.
I am so happy to meet this wood elf. We have to exchange names and shit. Like, we're going to have that like kiki moment. Yes.
This is Costa.
Costa!
And let me pull up here. Okay, so yeah, so you can go ahead and definitely pull up that page on Yugoloths in the Monster Manual. But essentially, it just goes into more detail, chatting about, their origins and their contracts, and now all the different types of Yugoloths that are out there. Upon taking a kind of a visual look at everything, you realize this Yugoloth you're after is something called an Arcanoloth, which is a particularly nasty breed of Yugoloths because they're hyper-intelligent. Their whole mission in life is to collect information and to use it against other people. So,
nasty. Oh! All of- mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, I remember reading about this.
Yeah, so everything they wheel and deal is to get powerful magic, information on how to get powerful magic, artifacts that will give them powerful magic, or all of the above that they can use to trade to get more powerful magic. So that's what they're all about. So they're usually the thinkers and like the diplomats of the Yugoloths, since they're, you know that you're not dealing with a brute here. You're dealing with somebody pretty intelligent.
Yeah, so Arnadel's like looking over this book super excitedly, but seriously, right? Like this is a serious moment. What's her name? Costa?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, we've already exchanged names and like, we're just like fucking vibing mad. We're just like super, we're just like insta homies. And like Arnadel probably stays a little bit longer than she was planning because she's just like having such a great time like chatting with Costa and realizes that maybe it's like been over an hour. And she's like, oh shit, like I gotta, Costa, fuck, like I'm so stoked about this. Like I have to go. I was supposed to meet up with some friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad I could help. And, you know, if you ever need books or anything, I this is my shop. And or send me a message.
Oh,
you know,
I would love to. This is Alistair Fitzpatrick, and I might send him back if I'm like tied up later. And she's like making a joke that Costa could not possibly understand because she might actually be fucking tied up later.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know, I love books.
Yeah, no, I really want to come back and like maybe rent or buy some of these because I can see on your shelves just at a glance you have some titles that I have only heard tales of. Like, this is incredible.
And yeah, if you need, if you're staying in the city for some time, I can show you around or I know the good spots or...
Yes, that would be so much fun. And we could talk about like oh my God, all of this stuff. I just need to know. I'm sure you have like unbelievable knowledge about it. So I hate to run. Here, and Arnadel wants to pull out 5 gold pieces because normally for that information, she understands she would rent it, but it's more of like a super friendly, like respectable gesture of like, Costa's time, so she puts
I can't take this. This was just so delightful having you here.
The pleasure was mine. I really insist, man. Like I want to come back and rent more, but like just for the coffee and for like taking your time. I'm sure you were doing something that I took you away from. So and just take this as a token as like I'm really looking forward to coming back.
Okay. Well, good luck with your Yugoloth.
Yeah, paper. What? Yeah, thank you. That was like super helpful. Learning it all runs out. Bye. See you soon.
You made a friend. See, city people aren't all terrible.
Yeah. Oh my God. Book friends.
Okay, and then let's hop back over to the warehouse.
All right, I'm gonna chop this lock off.
Okay. Okay.
Go for it.
Make me an attack. Just roll your damage.
Okay. I'll just use my axe.
Can I metal bend?
that would be sweet.
Do you see anywhere on your character sheet that would let you do that?
It says I can fuck with small earthly things. It's just refined earth.
I'm gonna say no.
Can
for
you
now.
Diamond bend?
Because then we'll start blood bending and everything will get crazy.
Oh man. All right, that is that's 5 damage. And no, I don't think she would try particularly hard to keep quiet at this point.
Then you do it. You just like slam through this lock. With a sharp tearing sound, rings out across the yard. But the padlock just falls away to the ground.
All right, I kick it off to the side, like under a rock or something, to observe. Yeah,
like behind one of the crates, like the cat was
just
in.
Just like, whoa, this never happened.
Yeah, and the door swings open.
I would.
And like it's very dark inside.
I would like to peek my head inside and see what I see.
As you look inside, you see that there are some crates and barrels just kind of scattered about. But as you look inside, you see the flash of something like a magenta color for just a moment that runs behind one of the barrels.
I hold up a hand to Saye and I say, I believe something is inside. We should be most cautious when entering.
You got it.
Yeah. Shall we then?
Let's. So he gets into her crouch.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I've definitely I sheathe my axe, pull out my sword, have it ready, and use my sword to creak open the door some more to kind of let some light in and cautiously step inside.
And you do so. And then when you get fully in the room, are you, like, closing the door behind you, or?
Let's keep that open.
Yeah, I agree.
So, as you're just standing in the room, silence.
Yeah, so I definitely start poking around with my sword, trying to look around things, get a sense of the layout, like, try and see if there are any other doors, or how many ways in and out are there, like, get a scope of how big it is.
So you step into the room and you start kind of scooting, you know, barrels around, like pulling off like old cloths. Yeah. Everything in here looks, it doesn't look like there's actually anything in here. These are like set pieces for an old warehouse. And then, so there's nothing, no other windows or anything, but you do go over, you see that there's like this moldy tapestry, against a back wall. Like it's so gross and faded that you can't tell what it was depicting anymore. But as you go and, you know, you tear that down, you see that there is a door that appears in front of you. The door does not have a handle or anything on it. And as you kind of make this discovery, you hear a sort of musical female voice drifting from somewhere in the middle of a stack of crates. Halt, traveler. What is my name?
Butterscotch.
Correct. And you see out of the middle of this stack, this small form appears and hops up onto one of these boxes, and you see it's a cat, or at least you think it's a cat at first glance, but this fur is like this teal and like magenta, almost plumage. It sort of looks like feathers, but sort of fluffy, and you see the eyes of this cat watching you from atop this thing. And right there above its head, there is this large purple gemstone that it's beautiful and seems to radiate again with that magenta light that you saw earlier. And this thing tilts its head and looks at both of you and kind of licks its paw. And as it does so, there's this bright flash from its jewel and a handle appears on the door.
Well, shall we enter?
Yes, my name is Butterscotch. I shall be your guide while you enjoy your time here in my master's realm.
And who, pray tell, is your master?
The Yugoloth, of course.
And what is that Yugoloth's name?
Haha, if I knew that, I wouldn't be working for him now, would I? And you also notice that as the cat is talking to you, its mouth isn't moving at all. You're just hearing this voice, and the gem is kind of flashing.
Whoa. May I ask you something that may seem insensitive?
No, you can't touch my gem.
Oh, no, I did not want to touch it. I simply wanted to inquire as to what your nature is.
I am a cat.
You are a very peculiar cat, nor have I seen many cats that have gems lodged in their craniums.
I am extremely magical. I suppose, well, if you don't know what I am, I'd rather not discuss it. People are always after my kind for one reason or another. You know, this is a working relationship. Let's keep this casual. And the cat just, like, hops down from the box and, like, stalks over to the door and then looks up at you and looks at the door handle and flicks her tail.
Very well.
Well, you're very beautiful either way, and I'm sorry you have to work for this thing.
And she looks up at you with her yellow eyes and kind of, she purrs just a little bit. And then she, like, stops herself. And licks her paw again. Well?
Let's open this door! What could go wrong?
Should we wait for Arnie?
Oh, perhaps that is...
Split the party.
Perhaps that is the proper course of action.
So we're waiting for a friend, or we're just going inside?
Nope, we'll head in right now.
Wonderful. If one of you could turn the doorknob, I do not have hands. And as you open this door, a waft of mist just assaults you immediately. And it all smells amazing. It sort of smells like eucalyptus and just as this washes over you. And Arnadel, I'm just going to say, for the sake of time, you show up. Right as this is happening. Because magic.
I was like trying not to disconnect my headphones. Tight. Like, do I show up just in time to see them like walk
this
through the door?
This waft of like white mist like pours out through this door. And the cat, Butterscotch, walks inside and disappears abruptly into this mist.
I look at it. I'm assuming like it's magical as fuck.
Oh, with your magic eyes?
Yeah.
There is a very, very light magic.
A light dusting?
Yeah, like a very subtle enchantment magic. And as you're, like, kind of breathing and, like, smelling the mist, you just feel so relaxed.
It's not charming me, is it?
No, it's just, you just feel a little bit more relaxed.
Like spa diffusers?
It's like,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And it smells fucking great.
Okay.
I love it.
I kind of am like, all right. Yeah, let's tally-ho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you step into the room, you go through this small kind of little antechamber, and you just see this little pink glow just ahead of you in the mist as Butterscotch is making her way into the room. But the room opens up suddenly, and the mist kind of, your eyes adjust to it. You are definitely standing in this very steamy room. You can feel that the floor underneath your feet is slick, as you see the white marble that just opens up before you in this very large room, and you see that there are pools of water in here, and they're all, like, very lovely tiled in, like, white and gold, and you, like, look up to the ceilings, you see there are these beautiful, like, statues that are intricately carved to, like, meet as branches up at the top. This room is absolutely gorgeous. And so you see these four long pools in front of you there, and you see that there are stacks of towels that have been lovingly arranged on either side of the room.
Book club's a bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy.
Sick. Yeah.
And Butterscotch is sitting there on the tiled floor, but she's doing that thing that cats, because it's all wet, so she's, like, lifting up her paws sort of uncomfortably. So, to talk to the master, you'll have to acquire his keys.
And how do we do as such?
He's set up clever games for you to get them. Unfortunately, that's all I'm allowed to tell you.
I see.
I hope you figure this one out quite quickly. I am very uncomfortable.
Can you offer us any tips throughout this hunt?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, maybe we should just start diving into these pools.
I want to do a perception check.
Okay.
That's going to be 19.
Okay. So as you're looking through the mist and trying to get a read on the rest of this room, you see that there are actually two doors leading into here that you couldn't really see before. One is a large, intricately carved ivory set of doors. Mm. And then one is a very, very small kind of wooden squat gate on the other side.
I am intrigued by the gate.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, you're looking down at the water. You notice that each of the pools smells different. So one is like a nice, relaxing lavender. And then the other, you have, again, that like kind of minty, fresh, woodsy smell. One is streaming full of these bright, like jolly pink bubbles.
Ooh.
And the other one appears to have glitter.
Ooh.
Just a shitload of glitter in it. And dang. The temperature of the water is all just like that lovely hot tub. Delightful.
Perfect temp.
Guys, you know, I know who we're dealing with here, but I cannot resist these tubs right now. I really want to jump into that pink bubbly one and then the sparkly one. I just want to be a glowing goddess, okay?
Wait a second. This is a puzzle, right?
Probably.
The cat shrugs, which is very interesting. Looking.
I think we should just go straight to one of these doors and spend some time figuring out how to open them, because this is all very inviting. And I'm like looking at Sai and I'm like, trust me, I want to get in one of these too. Trust me. We could probably ask Vlad to like reproduce this particular environment.
Oh,
yeah,
sure,
he would oblige.
Yep, yep, yep. You're right. I know you're right. Let's go to these doors right now.
I think if we spend too much time looking at these pools, we'll get at them and we'll probably get fucked over.
All right, which door do you want to go to?
I want to go to the, you would think that I would want to check out the dumpy one, but I'm going to look at the intricate one.
All right, I'm going to look at the dumpy one, because it's me-sized.
Okay. Yeah, so you are looking at both these doors. The dumpy one, yep, just looks worse as you get close to it. It's just like, it looks like an afterthought, like in this big, beautiful room. Somebody just, like, shoved this small little door here. And then as you look at the other one, you do indeed see it is actual ivory that has been carved into these delicate scenes of, like, pouring waterfalls. And it has, like, trees inlaid with jade and gold. And it's just absolutely stunning craftsmanship.
I want to try and open the door.
Wait. Let me share some information about what I've learned before we do, and then let's make an educated decision. Carl, you can tell me to fuck up otherwise.
I found myself rather attracted to the this rather plain looking door over here.
I suppose you need a tiebreaker, says Butterscotch and looks at you, Saye expectantly.
My instinct is dumpy door as well, but that's it. I pretty much exist on instinct, so there we go.
You got us through that underwater cavern.
Arnold looks at you guys like, all right, we'll go through the dumpy door, but my vote is solidly, I get to say I told you so if shit goes sour for the dumpy door.
You may have the next pick.
But before we go through to the room, as if she's speaking to the Ugaloth, if this is the puzzle to choose between these two doors, what the fuck? This is not a puzzle. It's just two doors and we have to make a choice. There's nothing educated about this.
Butterscotch blinks at you. All right. Are you just opening up the dumpy door?
Yeah.
Okay. As you open it up, cold air just streams out. You know, like when you're in a lovely hot room and then on the other side it's not. It just kind of hits you in the face. Also, a really bad smell hits you at the same time as well. Just smells like trash, like hot trash. And then
hot trash in a cold room.
Yeah.
Stale.
It's a hopeless place. So fuck. And then you hear that, who are you? Do you need more towels? And you see this little green face like stick up out of a pile of garbage, and it looks like a little lizard sort of snout.
Uh-huh.
Head. And you see that this room is just full of piles of garbage. And this thing is looking at you.
Who are you?
I'm Mordekainen. Who are you?
Wow.
If the missus would like some more towels. And he hops out. And you see he's wearing what is probably was a nice little uniform. It's like this white and gold sort of outfit, except it's been covered in dirt and smudged and torn in some places. And you recognize it's a kobold that's just jumped out of this pile of trash.
Nice.
And he runs over to the door and he's going, Bigby, Bigby! And you hear it, what? And out of another pile of trash, another kobold appears. More towels? And the kobold runs up and, like, it, like, extends its little lizard hand.
I don't believe we need any towels, but we are trying to figure out what is going on at this strange situation with these tubs and doors and such.
We live to serve! You're here, enjoy yourself! Otherwise, you might want to talk to Harmonia.
And who is Harmonia?
She is beautiful, and she lives right over there. Do you think she needs more towels? And then Bigby looks over at Mordekainen, and they nod at each other, and Bigby runs past you. So now you can see Arnadel and Saye, a little kobold, just runs, and he, like, kind of slips on the floor as he goes and grabs, like, a stack of towels off the walls and runs towards the ivory door on the other side.
Well, perhaps we do need to go there.
Will Harmonia, or whatever her name was?
Harmonia.
Harmonia, help us see your master?
Harmonia is our master!
All right.
And you see the one that's named Bigby. It's Bigby's a little bit more red. Mordekainen's a little bit more green. That's really the only way to tell them apart. He knocks one dirty claw upon the ivory door. Does madam need more towels? And you hear just this harmonious voice coming from the other side. Oh, small darling, come in, come in.
Why did I feel like this creature was going to be female?
And Bigby does. He opens up the door and pink steam just bursts in from that room. And like just a glittery effervescence from this door as they open up. And you see that there's this circular room there. And there's this giant porcelain tub that's just in the center of this room. And sitting inside of it is a dragon. She is like this turquoise and silver color with these just long fins that remind you of like angelfish. Sort of Whoa. The way she looks. You've never seen a dragon that looks anything like this. And she is holding in one of her claws like one of those back loofahs. She's just sitting in her tub.
Oh my god, does she have a shower cap on?
No, her hair, her like her fins are just falling down in like beautiful tresses. She's like
a
weirdly beautiful dragon. It's just sitting in the tub. Oh, Bigby! We have guests. Please, make yourselves at home. I'll be right out of the tub.
I look around awkwardly and nervously at the both of you and around our surroundings. Like, where am I supposed to sit?
Arnold's trying really hard to figure out if this is like some weird mutated version of a brass dragon.
Go ahead. And if you want to give me a nature check or an arcana to see if you know what
Ooh,
this is.
Ooh, yes. I got very high on that. Hell yeah. Let me add my modifier. That's gonna be a 25.
Okay. All right. Somehow you've heard of this thing. So this actually isn't a true dragon. This is something called a drake.
Oh.
And this is something you have, these specific drakes are rumored to exist, though you've never encountered one yourself. But they are usually all the vogue in like highly populated cities. This is a bathhouse drake. These creatures are obsessed with amassing material possessions, like, you know, most dragons and drakes. But the way they do it, they like to hoard beautiful things and, like, open businesses and get respect and, like, have people flock to them. And they usually enjoy the finer things in life, fine wine, fine cooking.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this wonderful beast is brought to you by the Creature Codex.
Cool.
From Cobalt Press.
A bathhouse drake.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking fabulous, and you're getting that impression.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does, true to her word, as you're all kind of standing there, not really sure what to do, she lifts herself with her claws out of the tub and slides gracefully onto the floor. And you can now see that she's not in the tub. She has a chain around her neck upon which hangs a silver key.
Hmm.
Oh, I believe those are the keys that we need to procure.
She has one.
Yes.
And she glides out of the tub and then walks on all fours towards you. Please, does my bathhouse displease you? Get in the tub. Enjoy a soak. You all look exhausted.
Your bathhouse is incredible, and I know we're all dying to get in. But we wanted to talk to you a bit about the key around your neck first.
Oh, yes. Everyone's always here for the key. Such a tragedy. I build this, all of this. No one sees it except those after those damn keys.
Well, why don't we... why don't you show us, what's your favorite bath to soak in? And how about we enjoy one of your fine tubs while you discuss the key? And I look over at you guys.
Oh, of course. I use my own sensual blend, obviously. That's why I have my private bath chambers up above. But please, go with your instincts. Go with you. I'll just hang out down here with all of you. Big B and the kobold, yes! And then, wheels out from her room a very large reclining chair that he struggles to push, and then Mordekainen goes over and helps him push it as they get her situated sort of in the middle of the four tubs, and she lounges down upon it.
Okay, yeah, what tub do you guys want?
Pink bubbles.
What are the, there's a lavender, pink bubbles, and...
like a minty one, and then the glitter tub.
I definitely want to get in the minty one.
I will take the glitter tub.
The water is perfect, and you have never felt more relaxed.
Oh, we're all going to have to disrobe in front of each other. Oh.
It's fine. No. I think we've all been... Have we been naked in front of each other before?
I don't think so.
I don't think we have.
Especially not in this body.
Oh, boy. And then Harmonia, as she's lounging, can I get you drinks? Of any kind? Are you hungry? Please, we aim to make your stay enjoyable.
I mean, fuck it. Yeah, I'll take a plate of fucking mortadella and salami with some buttered bread, goddammit.
Mordekainen, go see what we have in the back. And he runs off. He does run into his, like, little kobold lair, so. And she chats pleasantly. She does the thing. She's like, oh, the weather. Oh, Chasiana. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, oh, lovely establishment. Oh, this is so amazing. Oh, the perfect temperature. Hey, baby. I love the glitter. I can't wait to see how it shines on my skin.
Yeah, yeah, and Mordekainen and Bigby come out, and they have, yeah, cheese platters with some charcuterie arrangements, bread,
oh my God,
hummus.
This is heaven. I didn't want to leave.
Sit down.
Oh, thank you. It means so much to me that you feel that way.
Yeah.
It's just such a tragedy. Somebody like me just... languishing here in a warehouse, God forbid.
Oh, I totally agree. You would run the finest spa.
Oh, I used to.
What happened?
Let's just say I fell on hard times, the wrong side of a bad deal, and well, here I am.
We've actually been hearing quite a lot about these bad deals, and it's really tragic. I don't think anybody should have to deal with that, at least in my book. Like,
I quite agree. I quite agree. But there are worse things than, well, serving a Yugoloth, of all things. Luckily, I'm just here as a guard of sorts. I don't know.
God, you're worth so much more than...
Ugh, tell me about it, darling. I know, I know.
Your talents are wasted upon this establishment for you.
So you travel around with the Yugoloth for each of these meetings?
No, I just stay here. This is his sanctum, his lair. I wish he would let me out of the house. Oh, it's so boring in here. Though Mordekainen and Bigby, they're very sweet. And she goes and scritches one with her nails, like, and Bigby's like, ah.
How is Alistar Fitzpatrick reacting to her?
Would you say Alistar is into lady dragons?
This has never come up. how about I roll? I mean, I don't know. You want me to roll for it? Let's see.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a piece of your soul, so, you know, he would inherit.
So the thought crosses my mind, but I would let that part of my soul, like, be as it needs to be. What do you want me to roll, like a percentage dice?
I don't know. It's totally up to you. Yeah, it's 50 or higher, he's, like, absolutely in love with Harmonia.
Okay. That was a
93. Oh, yeah.
Woo!
So He has not looked at you this whole time. Wherever you walk, he's just, like, keeping his eyes on her. And he's like, kneading into your shoulders.
Super cute.
And, like, looking at her.
I like kind of jokingly, since we're all like totally relaxed, I'm like, Harmonia, I don't know if you noticed, but I think my little companion here might be Crescent.
Oh, he's so cute. Come here, baby.
So I like hitch him off of the shoulder.
Yeah, and she takes him in her claws and just like puts her like him right on her chest and is like petting him, and he's just like
I feel it. I'm like, oh so my god.
He's dying.
Alistar.
Saya is so relaxed. She just starts singing for the moment. It's like, dragon love, dragon love.
And you do notice over time, too, that enchantment in the mist, it's definitely helping you just, like, relax, and your cares are just, like...
We're all just really high.
You know, I am so enjoying your company, and it pains me that I cannot give you this key. I cannot willingly give you this key. Do you understand?
Well... I understand that means there are conditions. So what are the conditions?
Oh, that's simply it. I cannot know that I'm giving you the key.
Oh.
I can entertain you. I have no wish to attack you or to fight you. God, no. You know, and I cannot give this key to you. But if it were to go missing for some period of time, and then I were to find it again.
Carl... very confidently strides over to her and like pets her very gently underneath the chin and just like passes his hand over to kind of just try and like unclip it off.
Oh, Carl! And she like,
as I'm like standing here like buck naked.
She like tosses her beautiful dragon head and is like, oh, Pansy, and she's like, looking off into the mist. Oh,
Arnadel will even go forward, like as we're all giggling in our baths. The thought crosses her mind because she can feel how Alistar is just like living his best life right now.
Yeah,
Arnadel is even gonna pipe up and be like, Harmonia, as an extension of mutual appreciation, gratitude, and might I say, friendship.
Oh, darling, yes, of course we're friends.
I think Alistar is enjoying his time. We'll be back to pick him up on our way out.
Wonderful. I would be happy to keep an eye on him for you.
I think he would be happy with that, too.
Yeah.
And to keep an eye on this key that I am most certainly wearing.
He'll polish it for you.
As I try to pluck it off from her.
Yeah. No, she's like, she's very yeah. clearly yeah. like...
This is amazing.
She's, like, not looking at it. Yes, well, I will remain here, lounging in my terrace, but if you are interested in exploring the rest of my door craftsmanship, if you step through my private chambers, there is another lovely display.
Ah, very good, then. I suppose we best be off, then, ladies, as I go to put clothes on again.
I'll see you on the way out. I hope you don't die.
Us as well. Alistar, be a good baby.
He's like... he's making a sound you've never heard
come out of him. I'm feeling things that I've never felt from him before. I'm just like, whoa, buddy, like, simmer down there. But also I'm like, kind of like, tight-lipped about it. I'm like, bye, sweet, sweet innocent child. I'm gonna miss you.
Oh, sweet summer child. And do you follow her instructions and step up through her private bathroom?
Yes.
Then you see, yes, another beautiful door in front of you. With a keyhole.
I put the key into the keyhole.
And Butterscotch is like now ruffled and like glistening with the dew of the room. And she's like, it took you all long enough. Hello, venturers. Welcome to the midroll. We've got some big things in the works that I want to catch you all up on. For those of you who missed it, somehow, our fierce warlock Brittany is a working tattoo artist by day, and she is about to head out on a tattooing road trip around the U.S. She's going to be guesting at shops all over the country and is currently accepting appointment bookings. The dates stretch from March 1st, 2019 through April 24th, 2019, and hit a ton of major cities. So if you want to get inked by one of the Venture Maidens, she's asking that you book an appointment with her via email at britq02@gmail.com. Again, that's britq02@gmail.com. Her list of cities and all of the information I just said can be found on her Twitter at visual_warlock. That's visual with a Z. And while Britt is kicking ass around the country, we are excited to announce that we will be welcoming a guest player to our show, an incredibly talented artist, role player, and good friend of mine named Katie, aka lazy_mermaiden on the Twitter world. Katie will be joining us starting episode 56 and playing with us through May. We can't wait for you to meet her. On a little bit of a sadder note, we will also be officially retiring our After Hours mini show. Britt and I have had a ton of fun making it, but as the times change, we want to ensure all of our focus sticks with producing Venture Maidens, this little show right here that just keeps on growing like wildfire. Anywho, thanks for sticking through both the announcements and the changes on this here block. You all are amazing, and we love making this show for you. All right, but before we hop back in, I'm going to play you an ad for another great show on Don't Split the Podcast Network, Total Party Thrill. Talk to you next time.
Hey there, listeners. It's Shane
and Ishan, your hosts from the Total Party Thrill podcast, the newest addition to the Don't Split the Podcast Network.
We talk topics that help you, dear listener, create and play better RPG games.
We have a back catalog of more than 150 weekly episodes.
And we got nominated for an Emmy for episode 11, Social Contracts.
In episode 154, we talked about crossing the moral event horizon. How evil is too evil?
We also recap our home games, like the 40k Rogue Trader campaign, Dynasty Unwarranted.
But that's mainly just you trying to kill us all. In your defense, our characters are greedy idiots.
Don't forget the 3 years we spent Neberon playing Morning Glory, your 5th edition D&D campaign.
We also review new RPGs and books, and every episode we build a 5th edition D&D character in the Character Creation Forge.
You might check out the Pint-Sized Punisher from episode 119, a halfling with a bad attitude, and 14 levels of barbarian.
So to recap, Total Party Thrill. RPG advice, campaign recaps, and D&D characters built by your dashing hosts every single week.
What more could you possibly want?
To get back to the actual show?
Oh yeah, let me just hit this button, and here you go.
And as you step through this room, the pleasant smells and the mist are left behind, and you come into a much darker, dingier room that you can tell has a very low ceiling. And it takes your eyes a minute to adjust, like, even with your dark vision. And yeah, there's just this dark room of, like, padded earth in front of you. And in the center of the room, there is a simple wooden table. And sitting in the chair directly across from you is a human person. You can't really tell much more than that because they're wearing a mask. Half of it is white, half of it is black, and it's got this twisted up smile on one side and a twisted down smile on the other.
I know this fucking asshole.
And he's sitting in his chair, shuffling a deck of cards. And there is a chair directly across from him.
I will sit down in the chair. I have always considered myself a lucky individual, and I will sit down.
And Butterscotch says, "Ah, oh, it's so much more pleasant in here."
I don't like Butterscotch.
Butterscotch, is this your Yugoloth master?
No, of course not. Three keys. She flicks a paw out to the room, like, towards the table. So, I'm sorry, Kara, did you move forward to sit in the chair? As you sit down, the figure across from you does a really fancy-ass card trick, and then he puts the deck in the center. Mm-hmm. Cut it.
I take about 75% of the deck in my hand, and then put the small little 25% on top.
Ace is high. 2 out of 3. High card wins.
Very well.
Okay. Do you have your deck ready?
Oh my god. I need to go.
I got it.
Do I have to get one too?
Oh no. I mean, Nassim can do it for you if you want. All right. 2 out of 3. So he goes, ace is high. He goes to pull a card, and you pull a card.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 5.
9.
Nice. And he tosses the card, like, cavalierly back behind him. And he goes to flip again.
2.
I win with my 4. One more chance.
I feel it. Nice! King of spades!
And he got a 3. And he... He puts his, like, the card back, and he slams his deck down on the table. Interesting. Well.
Is that the only game you know?
It's the only one I've been hired to play. And he reaches in his pocket and throws a key out onto the table.
Sweet.
At you.
I pocket it.
Good, thank you. Have a good day.
And he spreads out the deck in front of him as he goes, and then he does the thing where he flips his hand back the other way, and you see that all of the cards now have this emblem of a grinning skull.
Ooh.
On them.
Ooh. Interesting.
And you see that there is a door behind him in the shadows. Would you like to step through the door?
I want
to
do a religion check as we walk past.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 14.
You recognize the mask as an older god. Not a lot of people worship him anymore. It's certainly not a common thing to see in the plains at all, but this is a mask of Illidamara.
Oh, I remember this one! Yeah, fucking chaos.
The gods of rogue, chaos, chance, criminals. Yeah, it's a very strange mask to see here in Chasiana. And you make your way through the door. And all the while, butterscotch padding along beside you.
Is there a keyhole in this door?
There is a keyhole.
Wonderful.
Do you want to open it?
Yes.
All right. And as you open up this new door, your eyes are flooded with sudden light as just sun is streaming down on you. And you can see that you're in this large domed room that's filled with trees, like tropical trees that stretch up towards this ceiling that is made of glass. So you're in some kind of, like, beautiful warehouse. And this place is just thick with trees and moisture, and you can hear the sound of frogs and birds chirping, and this thing just extends all the way behind you, so you can't see a wall or anything on the other side.
Interesting.
Okay. So you'd have to push past into some trees to go forward.
Do it.
Slow and steady.
Yep, so you're, like, stomping through trees and, like, tripping on vines and kind of moving around through this place, all the while Butterscotch just hopping delicately from thing to thing, dodging behind trees, until you come to the center of this place. And you hear this before you see them, like, all this, like, squawking sounds coming from this large collection of birds that is standing in the very, very center. But these birds look sort of like ostriches. They stand on 2 legs, and they all have these bright, like, plumed colors, and you see these really long beaks that end in these razor-sharp points. And you see there are, like, 20 of these things just congregated in the center of this greenhouse. Do you want to move closer to them?
Anadil, do you know what these are?
As you see her, like, going through her Rotodex of knowledge in her brain.
It's been working for you this episode.
Yeah. That is a 16.
Okay. Yeah, you recognize these creatures as axe beaks. So they are large birds from a magical land called Chult. And they can actually be bred and tamed to be mounts for medium-sized creatures.
They're like chocobos!
they're basically chocobos, yeah. You know that they have vicious tempers and can absolutely hurt you. They're called axe beaks for a reason. You also know they're very fast.
So I'm like, wait a second, guys. I share all of that information, and I'm like, I don't know if these fuckers are tamed. I don't have very high animal handling skills. I also don't want to, we can't outrun them, and I don't want to get axed by their beaks.
perhaps one of them is wearing a key and we have to catch it.
Do they fly? Do I know if they fly?
They do not fly. They just run very fast.
I want to mash up some rations, probably just like stale bread, in my pack. Tear it up and like splay it in front of us, like 5 feet in front of us, and be like an offering. Here's some bird feed.
Sure. Go ahead and make a animal handling check.
Wait. 22.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so, and you do it, so you tear up the bread, and you make it in, like, the right little pieces, and you get just close enough to the point where they're, like, a bunch of them turn their heads to look at you, and they have to look at you sideways, because their beaks are so long, so they're, like, you know, like six of them in the crowd are watching you real hard as you get as close as you can, and then scatter out the bread, and they're, like, considering you for a moment. And then a few of them kind of start to walk forward and then like look back at the other ones. A couple more kind of walk forward. And then you begin to see like, yeah, those same six that were like really inquisitive just come and they start like pecking at the ground and you hear like this bladed sound almost as they're snapping up like, the food on the ground. Yeah.
Could I make a perception check to see if I see a key on any of them?
Definitely.
I'm waiting at the ready, because if any of this shit goes sour, I'm prepared to cast a spell to get us the fuck out of this situation.
Nice. A natural 20.
Oh, boy. So you see, indeed, one in the center, one that has, like, bright purple plumage, is wearing a key around its neck.
Ooh.
Ooh. Saya's gonna sit on the floor, cross-legged, very slowly, then keep mashing up food and hold it out into her hand.
Wait, you want to put food in your hand?
Yeah, I know it's gonna hurt.
With a,
she's holding it out in her hand.
Okay, hold on. I also want to whisper to you guys, I'm like, I learned a new spell.
What is it? Mage hand. Oh, that could be very convenient.
I'm whispering loudly. Saya, do you want me to use mage hand to get it off of this fucker's neck?
Saya, a couple of the ones that, now that they're wrapping up food on the ground, like, aim towards your hand, and I'll need you to take a point of damage as one just snaps, and, like, it gets the bread, but it also gets a solid chunk of your palm.
Ew! Oh, fuck that. Yeah. Oh.
Hand injuries are the worst.
She's like, yes, use it.
All right, I cast Mage Hand, and I delicately, okay, with all of the focus that I have in my being, try to get that thing off of the bird's neck.
Okay. So the bird rolled like garbage. So I'm gonna say this bird was like starting to come over because it started getting really, really jealous of all the other birds that were eating everything Sai had put on the ground. Yeah, so it's already like sticking its head down and trying to like stick its head towards Saye. His bleeding hand now is like covered in blood everywhere. The birds are like, what's happening? So you just manage to slide and you have to tug it at sometimes, but the bird is so fixated on the food that you manage to slip this key right off of its neck.
Fuck yeah! Oh my god!
I'm like, the second I see the key come off of the neck, I, like, let the sprinkle, the rest of the crumbs on my hand fall to the ground, and I slowly stand up.
Yeah, so, and do you guys want to look around for the last door?
Indubitably!
Yeah, so you go towards the outside of this glass structure. Now that the birds are all kind of preoccupied in the center, you're not in any kind of danger. And you find the final door. And Butterscotch says, finally.
All right, let's do it!
All right. Boom, boom, boom. Open up this door. Finally, the light levels out as you step into this room, which appears to be a large suite of rooms. So the one you step into is like a living space with like a wall that's crammed full of books, like a nice dining table, a couch, just like a really nice place somebody might live. You see that it's pretty well maintained. There are tapestries on the wall of like dragons and other kinds of scenes. You do see that there are doors leading off, presumably to more rooms. But as you step into this room, a terrible, terrible odor hits your nose. It's the smell of rot and death.
Mm-hmm. Before we get in any further, Saya comes to you, Arnadel. Arnie, do you know any kind of transfiguration spells or anything like that to change one of us into something small?
Yeah, I mean, I have that wand of polymorph.
A spider? I don't know. Something has to be really small. We have to... I feel like at some point we're going to have to search his place or his person and find its name.
We're not, like, in the door yet, right? Can we have this conversation before we go in the door?
Sure. Butterscotch, though, does walk into the room casually, like she lives here, and hops up on the dining room table and, like, starts cleaning herself.
And I want to, like, I'm like, oh, God, the smell, as Saya and I have this very quick and hurried conversation. So I'm just going to do, like, the quick, like, under the armpit, like,
zip.
Yeah, like, I'm going to aim it. I'm going to look at Saya and I'm like, spider. So I'm like, just, pew! Like, casually, like, nothing's going on. I'm just like, do-do-do.
Whichever one of you are taller right now, I climb to the top of your head.
Probably me.
Yep, and Butterscotch continues to clean herself on the table.
All right, let's head into the room.
Yeah, so you step into this very lovely room. There is a door on the other side that is slightly ajar. Other than that, there is all the trappings of somebody who lived here, like, alone. There's some interesting books on the walls. There's a globe. It's very, very quiet, and it smells very, very bad.
Is there a desk somewhere?
Yeah, there's a writing desk on one side of the room. It's neatly arranged.
So we just, like, stand there awkwardly and, like, looking at each other and then Butterscotch. Sorry, Butterscotch.
Butterscotch is licking her ass on the table.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Okay. Sai is going to shoot a web into the air and do the thing that spiders do. I don't think black widows do this, but the thing that the spiders do where they shoot a web into the air to fly off and fly off.
That's terrifying.
They totally do that. Haven't you seen Charlotte's Web? The babies.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, so you shoot a web and you go to the ceiling.
I want to go to the desk.
Okay. You are on the desk.
I want to start investigating the desk.
Okay, this is going to take you so long as a spider. But go ahead and make an investigation check, I guess.
So while Sawyer's doing that, Arnadel's like, so, Butterscotch, my pseudo-dragon does that sometimes. It's never comfortable. I'm sure you're feeling great. What's, where's your dude?
I don't know. I'm not his keeper. And then Butterscotch seems bored and is going to, she's like, well, I'm getting hungry. And she goes and she walks over towards the ajar door and kind of pushes it open and walks into that room.
I said, I follow her into the door because, God, what is she eating? That smells so wretched.
We should. I mean, that wasn't exactly an invitation to go behind that door, but also, like, I don't know what to fucking do.
Well, it seems to be our only option. We might as well go.
So the closer you get to this door, the worse the smell gets. Until you can see that on the other side of this room, there's definitely like a four-poster bed. Kind of in the center of the room, you can see dressers, other things, bookshelves. You see the flash of magenta from Butterscotch sitting on the bed, but sitting on top of something. You see that there is red and fur and something matted and a torn apart body sitting up there, and you see Butterscotch is currently taking a big old bite out of what is laying there on the bed, which looks like the twisted remnants of an Arcanoloth.
Whoa. Roadkill. Yo, Buttercup, didn't like you. Did not like you one bit.
And as you all step into the room, she looks up at all of you, and her turquoise fur is covered in blood. What? He died, and I got hungry.
I mean, I can't fault you for that. Like, eat it up, kitty cat.
So here's the thing. Clearly, I can't fight you. But what you come here for, well, he's already dead. And I have really enjoyed keeping his contracts. It's amazing what people will tell to their pets, quite honestly. So I would prefer if you would just walk out of here and this all went away.
Mm-mm-mm. You must be real silly to think that we're just going to walk out of here with without coming to some kind of agreement.
Understood. Well, I'll give you the book of contracts. Clearly, I can't maintain that, and clearly, I can't fight you, as I said. So take it. It's yours. I've already chewed up my page. And she flicks a tail over towards the window, and you see the stand with the book is lying upon it.
Okay.
Quick. How long will it take for him to return? How did he die?
Oh, I killed him.
You killed Denar Konilov, but you do not think you could take us. That seems interesting.
No, he was foolish and never expected it. We've been together for quite a long time, you see. Now, I also possess his true name, so he serves me, in a fashion. So he'll come back, I'll make him serve me for a bit, and then I'll kill him again. It's fabulous.
Oh, well, it sounds like you're getting what you want out of this, like...
Oh no, I'm quite content, which is why I would prefer for you to take the book and leave.
And what is his true name?
Why would I tell you that?
Why wouldn't you?
I would prefer not to share. I enjoy having a pet. It's the first time I've had one and not been one. It's delightful.
I'd like to make an insight check on her.
Sure.
Then, like, Arnold's like, it checks out. That'd be, like, totally petty, but totally logical.
17.
It's hard to get a read on this creature. But she seems to be delighted with what she's done. She's disappointed that it might end. But she seems pretty rational, if not a little creepy.
Petty, but logical. Like, you know, like, this guy sounds like a fucking dick, and clearly they have some relationship issues to work out. And she's gonna just go and be doing her thing, but...
So, here's the thing. I know you're after the name. I don't want to give that to you. I enjoy our little tete-a-tete, as it is. But I will give you the book. And you can go and turn it into the collector, everything you need to do to accomplish. I will not send this... And she takes another pointed, like, bite of his rotting flesh and just sort of, like, bleh, it out on the bed. This stays with me, but he will never trouble your duke again.
Or the contracts in this book?
Well, the contracts, I don't actually have any power to maintain them, but it's amazing what you can do with a little bit of magic to make people believe you.
Yo, oh no, I totally agree with you on that.
So I am absolutely willing to relinquish this book. I keep the name. We go our separate ways. Everybody wins.
This feels too good to be true. I don't know why it feels too good to be true.
I quite agree.
Yeah, there's so, like, there. There's a catch. Maybe it's just because we know Celeste, or or, like, I just fucking hate cats.
She's treating you very much like a cat.
Yeah, I'm not a cat person at all. So that's why I'm like, But also, like, yeah, well, I mean, that's what we showed up for. That would be a complete mission. It's mostly that I don't want to have to fucking deal with this again.
All right. You know what? Even better. I like all of you. You interest me. So how about this? I give you the book. I keep the name. But then I come back and work with you. How does that sound?
Work with, I dare say, you have been the entire time saying how boring we are, and now you are saying that you are interested.
Oh no, I don't want to work with you. I want to work with you, the Sisters of Sorrow. I have quite a nice pet to bring along. What do you say?
Smells rotten, but... I'm just ready to get the fuck out of here, so I'm...
What? Am I in this room now?
Yes, you are here.
I also want to make an insight on the cat.
Sure.
Saye, I, like, just yell out of the room. What, have you heard any of this? What say you?
I mean, can we assume that this conversation's been happening for 10 minutes?
I can say, because you would be able to make a save every round to end the polymorph, you can choose to end the polymorph if you would like.
Yeah, I end it, and Saye... pop up.
Okay.
So you're back to Saya.
Well, my insight was 13, so as far as I know, the cat is just tired of this place and wants to get out.
Right. The cat,
Yeah, again, Kat seems Butterscotch is leveling with you.
It's just weird that Butterscotch wants to, like, offer some level of, like, getting out, like, maintaining, I don't know. She just got out of servitude with this weird Argalot thing, and now she's pledging another version of it to the sisters.
Yeah, I just want to ask Butterscotch, well, if you've already defeated this Yugoloth, why are you still here? Why haven't you already left?
Because she wants to, like, dangle that shit over his head. She wants to play with her food.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I am a cat. What am I supposed to do if I don't have a sanctum or a lair or people stronger than me? Not only that, I'm a carbuncle, which is completely hunted for my gem. If I step out there, I die.
Oh, I see. Now, sorry, we didn't. Okay, all right.
You people slaughter my kind. Even with the help of my casual friend here. She takes another bite out of the corpse. Yes, you two legs. I do need a place to go. If you are taking away my contracts, well then, I will be losing a lot of resources. I am willing to give that up, but I also need protection in return.
Okay, how about this? We'll send you a letter. Deal? Because we can't make any executive decisions for the Sisters of Sorrow while we're on a mission that has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. We'll touch base with our superiors and let you know.
No deal. You have to take me with you. Once you take those contracts, all of my protection will go away.
I look at both of you guys.
You do have a drake downstairs at your mm-hmm. disposal.
Yeah, this is sounding fine to Saya. I'm just gonna say to Butterscotch, if you insist on keeping the Yugoloth's name to yourself,
I do.
Then it is your responsibility to deal with him when and if he comes back.
Yeah, that might cause some issues with our superior. I mean,
I have complete control over him. In every sense of the word.
I believe you. All right, yeah.
Where will we find his contract?
That book over there is filled with them. As I said, I've removed the problem ones, but other than that, you're fine. Do with it what you will.
All right.
All in good faith, though. You will be taking me with you.
Carl?
We appear to have found ourselves in a rather sticky situation. I do not know that I trust leaving this cat to her own devices. Perhaps, I don't know. It seems that it would all be all the better to just burn this book and destroy the cat and then take our lovely drake friend home with us.
Excuse me?
Well,
I can be of great value to you. Also, the drake is clearly not going to go with you. She's been trapped here forever.
I think we could probably convince her. I mean, shit, she just needs to meet Valerius and they're gonna be, like, fucking homies for life. Ugh.
Are you saying that because they're both draconic in nature?
No, I'm not at all. Carl, goodness. I'm saying that because they have a taste for ridiculous things. Wow.
I had to ask.
No.
All right, well, we don't have all day.
Yeah, well, I say grab the book, and while one of you is taking it, I just want to go up to the body mm-hmm. and take a good look at it, make sure it's the thing I recognize from the chapel, and search its corpse. Ew.
Yeah, it definitely looks like the thing you saw. As you're looking at the corpse, it's probably been dead for about 2 weeks, you would guess?
God.
So it smells vile, putrid, and is like places, you know, when you touch it, it like, it sinks in.
Ew, oh God.
It appears to have died. There's, like, a blast crater, like, in its chest, as if hit by a very strong energy beam of some kind.
This fucking cat. I don't believe a fucking word it says.
Also, there are numerous, like, just bites taken out of this thing. She's been eating this
corpse. Yeah, she's, like, taking great pleasure out of... I don't trust the cat any far than I... Like, well, less far than I can throw it. I'm sure I can toss it quite a great deal, but, like...
Excuse me.
Sorry. I mean, you told us that you're clearly afraid of shit like fucking with you. I mean, between the three of us, I think we're fine. We just put it in a fucking magic cage. I've got spells for this shit. I don't know. Like, I do want to relieve fucking Harmonia from her bondage to this shithole. I think she could really flourish. And we also have to help our Efreeti friend, and I really think the Sisters of Sorrow could do... And then we've still got to, like, do some shit for Bartleby.
Out of character, I think we should put the cat inside the magic bag that Bartleby gave us.
You're such a jerk.
Oh, yes! Wait, what was the bag for?
To put the book in is for it. We should put the cat in to see what happens.
It's not like a bag of holding, is it? Should like Arcana check on that shit? I don't want it to suffocate, or do we even give a shit?
It will die if you put it in the bag.
Do we care? Cannot.
No. Fuck this cat.
Oh, I know. Fuck it. Fuck it hard. Let me see what, like, do I have hold animal? Can I turn it into something else?
Are you discussing just openly the cat?
No. I specifically said out of character. We should put the cat in the bag.
Yes, and again, out of character, here is the thing. Where I feel like we have two goddamn choices. Trust the thing, let it come with us, and just see how it goes, deal with the shit later. Or two, I'm surprised Kara hasn't fucking chopped it to pieces already, because if you clearly don't trust it, why are you keeping it alive? Only for the reason that it knows the thing's name for when it comes back.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, we have to take her with us.
Yeah, that is true. That is the only thing that knows its name.
Valid point.
Very valid point. Fuck. God damn it.
I win.
I hate... Stop making me hate cats more. I don't hate cats. Of course, I would feed one and take care of it.
Let's take her with us.
Delightful.
Is there, like, some fucking magical cat harness we can put it on?
If you do have some way to conceal me, that would probably be ideal.
Is the little jewel on its head or its chest?
On its head. It's right there on its head.
Conceal it. Yeah. Do you want me to polymorph you so you're not what you are? You look like something else.
But I do warn you, if you polymorph me into anything undesirable, I'll be very upset.
You can pick. What do you want?
Wow.
Sassy. Yeah. You get to pick. What do you want, Buttercup?
Not just a normal cat will do.
All right. Do you have any preference on coat pattern?
Oh, could I be fluffy and white?
Yeah, fucking when you smushed face too. And I just like polymorph her into like Grumpy Cat.
She can't see herself, but she delights in how fluffy she is. Mm. All right, then. Well, I think this all worked out for the best. I'm so excited to meet your employers.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be thrilled with us. Mm. So before we like are like, and that's it. Until next time, are we going back to Bartleby or are we going straight to like...
So you don't need to go to Bartleby. You just need to put the book in the bag and it won't be your problem anymore.
All right, fine. Arnadal is kind of like looking forward to shit talking Bartleby again, but like...
No, we don't want to go back there. He'll trap us in his goddamn lamp. Put the book in the bag. Yeah, right. Let's get our...
Before we put this book in the bag, I would like to purposely remove Duke Ravain's name as well as...
Rashad
is under the control of Bartleby.
So we can put it in the bag, and then we could go back to the Thousand Nights Inn.
Our part of the magical bargain will be.
But we don't need to go see Bartleby himself. But I suggest we just put the book in the bag and be on our way.
You're not interested to see who else is in the book?
Yeah, I want to see. Let's look. Of course.
I'm going to snoop the hell out of this book.
No, I need to know. I totally want to know. Knowledge is power. Let me get it.
Okay.
Saya turns away.
Oh, Arnadel's on that shit so fast. Are you kidding? I bet the Raven Queen's even whispering in her fucking ear, like, let me see it.
I can't even read the names, and I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Step one, Harmonia is definitely in the book. So her contract is going to transfer to Bartleby, presumably.
No, we're going to rip that shit out.
You cannot, under the condition of your Gaius.
Oh, God, fuck.
That's what I'm telling you. It's only going to hurt you to look through the book.
Do you want to keep looking through the book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There are several key noble figures in the city. Probably the most interesting thing you notice is that Deirdre has a contract in this book as well.
Oh, fuck.
No shit. Not even surprised.
Oh my god, we have so much leverage against her.
I can't wait to take her fucking racist ass down. Ooh, this is gonna be so good. I'm gonna be real good friends with Bartleby. Holy shit.
And then I'll go ahead and say those are probably the only names that you actually recognize out of this book.
Well, I would like to take a fucking list of this shit for the future. Because I feel like this is important knowledge to have.
Right. Yeah, write down some.
I'm writing it down. I'm making a names. Quick PDF copy. Copy paste.
scanning the book of contracts.
Saya's just petting Butterscotch.
Butterscotch purrs and loves it. And she's like, sometimes it's nice having people with hands around.
Oh, poor thing. That thing's like abused as fuck. Yeah.
So many feelings about Butterscotch. And then do you put the book in the bag?
Yep.
And as you do so, you put it in the book and do the drawstring, and then you suddenly feel the weight go out of the book or out of the bag, and the bag changes. And it just seems to be a rough spun bag now. And even if you flip it inside or out or try to reach in, it's just a normal bag now. And you feel, Carl, this pressure that was on you just sort of lifts. Like, you didn't notice it was there until it was gone.
Mm.
But as the gas dissipates, your conditions are met. And you hear the sound of something shattering, like tile, coming from somewhere in the same building. And you hear a scream of draconic rage. And that's where we're ending today! That's it!
Oh dear.
Woo!
You have a new companion!
Because Celeste wanted to give herself more NPCs to have to vanish.
Because I hate myself!
Please don't take away my pseudo-dragon.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see next time. Well, thank you everybody so much for sticking around. I know we played a little bit late, but we had some exciting stuff to do, and it was all good. Yeah, okay. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Konowich.
I've been your Moon Elf Warlock, Arna Delathil, played by Brittany Quintero. And I'm very worried about my pseudo-dragon familiar.
I have been your increasingly impatient Human Monk, Sonya, played by Nassim.
I love it. And I am Sage, and I have been your baffled barbarian, Cara Brynhilda.
Oh, wow, we're getting bees in the front, bees in the back. It's amazing!
Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, beep, beep. Well, thank you everybody so much for tuning in, and until next time...
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody. Oh, it's me! I got the pineapple.
You guys have heard me talk about them before, but I have to tell you more about Elderwood Academy. They are artisans who craft amazing gaming products, including dice towers, dice trays, dice boxes, deck boxes, dice, and more. All their products are crafted to look like spell books, scroll cases, codexes, and other awesome fantasy gear that we love. And I want to tell you today about their spell books. They're RPG gaming boxes, because they're pretty freaking cool. They're these lovely carved single block of hardwood boxes designed to look like an old spellbook with real leather, old foil pressed art of your choosing onto the cover, and there's space for your spell cards, for your dice, any figurines you have. There's also a dry erase board inside the cover, and there's room for you to keep a dry erase pen if you want. There's so much customization that you can put into these to make it really speak to your character or your style of gaming. It's really cool, and they also make really great gifts. I'm definitely putting it on my list of things that I need. And you can find this stuff and all the other amazing things. Our listeners can go to their site, elderwoodacademy.com/don'tsplitthepodcast, and let us know what you think about their stuff. Tweet at us when you get your fancy new equipment. We want to see it. And, yeah. Thanks. Bye.